Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ, with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we love you and we thank you. We glorify you. We bless you. Thank you for your truth and thank you for your anointing and your word. Thank you because you are with us and thank you that you love us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Now, we've been in a study series for many weeks now, and we're just about to wrap it up. This would be perhaps the second or last session, which would be teach us how to pray. And last time we were seeing the prayer of consecration. And today we're going to see the prayer of supplication. But just in case some points weren't clear, one of the ways to do the prayer of consecration, as the Lord said, especially when you're going to do something, the Lord places something to you to act on. You have to say that if it's your will, I will act on it, but you have to accompany it with prayer in the Spirit. Because when you pray in the Spirit, we're in a better covenant established on better promises. And we saw that the prayer to consecrate or consecration means to dedicate for a sacred purpose. I don't know how the Lord will guide me in a review of some of all the prayers, but there's a few of them. So we're going to see the prayer of supplication. This prayer in our area of faith is very lightly used. I don't know how much perhaps in English or in Spanish or in other languages the word supplication, we have an idea, say, to beg. And it's true, there are some things that we cannot beg God for, especially when He gave us something already in Christ. But nevertheless, you have to understand that the Bible was translated from a different language. And the Holy Spirit was intending something else when he left something recorded, when in our culture we understand something differently. And perhaps it could be a year or 2 years ago, maybe three, I started seeing this more, because they were words that when I would read them, I'll be honest, I would just give it the shoulder. When speaking of supplication and begging, and I just give it the cold shoulder. But then I realized that in the New Testament, they're mentioned quite a few times, especially in the Greek or in its original verses. And I believe I'll only be using two verses in the Old Testament today. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Now, there are two points here that I want you to see in this verse. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. We saw that expression, all prayer, refers to different types of prayers. And we've seen those different types of prayers. But notice here. Supplication. In the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. Again, that word again. Amen. Two times in one verse. New Testament. Second Covenant. Under the grace of God. These are synonyms. Now, so you can see it in another point. 1 Timothy. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications. Again, can you see it there? Supplications. Prayers and intercessions. But let's focus on that word supplications, which is sometimes in other languages you'll find as has to beg. Now, in 2 Timothy, or apologies, no, there in 1 Timothy, chapter 5, verse 5. Now she who is really a widow and left alone, trusting God and continues in supplications, again, supplications and prayers night and day. Supplications and prayers night and day. Interesting. Now in Philippians, these are foundations here that we can later see how they're going to be used. Philippians 1 verse 3. Quote 1 and 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. Again, making request of you, another way of saying supplication, supplicating for you. So the Holy Spirit here left these words written. But we see them in a different point of view. Now, in the King James Version, the original, in the original King James, we're going to see this word request in the Greek. We're going to see what this word is meaning here. From the Greek deisis, a prayer for a kindness or a request for a favor. A specific or special request, a special request. This is all based on your relationship with God, and it's very important that you understand it. This is based on your relationship with God and based on your position in Christ and your relationship with God and your position in Christ. Now, what do you understand with if I were to tell you when I say supplication or to beg or begging, the way that we understand it is if you go with a person and you say, I beg of you, please, that you help me in this situation. But you don't know if that person is going to help you or not. Which is why you need to know, in this case, whom the petition, knowing that the petition goes to God. Now, these are very important points here that I'll share before explaining to you. We saw in this series that there are different types of prayer. Just as there are different types of sports. You play a sport, you don't play, if you play basketball, you don't play with the rules of baseball. Well, don't make of this prayer the only type of prayer. Because this prayer may seem very comfortable, but you'll be disappointed when nothing happens in your life saying, hey, what happened? This prayer of supplication is specific when you do it for someone else, for a member of your family, for a person, a husband, wife, children, members of our family that we see them that they're lost, that they're hurt, and there are ways in enacting prayer. You can also do it for the country. This prayer, I've been practicing it for a few years now for Mexico and for other nations. In one way or another, I have a relationship with them. Amen. And there are ways of doing it. But you have to understand that it's a special petition. And as I said, you'll normally do it for someone else. But also, you can do it when you're going through a specific situation. One more time, remember how I told you in this series that you will not know when, how. You're not counting it as to say, oh, I'm praying a prayer of faith and I have 2-3 seconds and now the prayer in the spirit and then suddenly the prayer of agreement. Remember how I told you what was that? As a formula. It's not a formula. Simply, you just start praying. And if you understand this type of prayer, there has to be an element of faith. Why an element of faith? Well, you have to believe that special favor will be done unto you. Amen. Interestingly, we're going to see here examples, and we saw what the verses said here. We're going to see examples of this type of prayer in the first covenant or in the Old Testament. What is the rule when someone reads or studies in the New Testament? No, do you remember here? I can't really hear you that well from up here. What is the rule when someone reads or studies the New Testament? Light with the light of the New Testament. You have to be reading. If you're a disciple, not just reading a Bible, although this church, every member, every day they read their Bible, they pray, amen, thank you. Every day, glory to God, and the faith partners of Word of Faith Ministries, every day they pray, amen, and every day they read their Bible, at least 2 chapters. Thank you. But you have to understand that God is the same. But you cannot come to God based on the laws of the Old Testament. If you say, oh, I read my Bible, then God owes me something. Because it has some, I mentioned this because it's very similar to the prayer of supplication in Daniel 9. Now that we're in chapter 9 here. You could read from verse 1, but I'm not going to. You can do it at home, and you read it with the light of the New Testament. Verse 17. Daniel 9:17. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. See it? The word here. Hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see our desolations. Now you know that you will not pray this verse the exact same way as this, because God doesn't have his eyes closed, nor his eyes closed, nor his ears closed. Now you could say, oh, well, Daniel prayed incorrectly. No, he prayed according to his covenant. But now you act in acts of grace and gratitude. Now reaching the next point that I'm trying to make here. And see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our, again, supplications. We do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Hallelujah. Now are you understanding? Are you understanding how you pray? Not in yourself. Be careful with that. When you pray this prayer, it is not, Lord. Lord, I read my Bible every day. I pray every day. I give tithings. I give offerings. Don't come based on that. There are many Christians, God bless them. This is an observation of what I see, but that's how they pray. And God bless their hearts. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. One of the areas that I pray for Mexico, giving an example. The United States as well. Very similar. You know how I pray? When I start praying, lifting up in prayer the presidents, our leaders. Thank you, Lord. Letting the Spirit of God remind me. It's important. Why? Because one. How many did I say one? Did I say 20? No, one. One of the characteristics of a mature person is that they pray for everyone else before for himself. They spend time praying for others. Children in Christ they barely pray. Children in Christ barely pray or pray very little. They only pray to supply their needs. Why? Because the children in Christ are carnal. Have you seen perhaps a baby? If you've been a father or a mother years ago, if you remember, or lately you've been a parent, the kid starts crying at 2, 3 in the morning. You wake up and you say, oh, kid, you're so disconsiderate. You haven't let me sleep. Look at me all day. I have to work and then I arrive and then I have to make food for your dad and to iron our clothes. And you're just there crying because I don't know what's happening to you. Do you do that? Well, of course not. But the kid is oblivious to that. What does he care? The kid is crying because he's hungry or his diaper's dirty or something. He's thinking of himself only. And that's normal. It's a baby. Well, that's how children in Christ are. But a characteristic of a mature person, one of them, it's not the only one, but one of them, that they pray for the rest and spend time praying. Now, I'm not boasting. If you want to believe it and accept it or not, this isn't to boast. But it's something that I do. I pray for all of you every single day. From Monday to Monday, every day. I pray in the Spirit first. I declare certain blessings or promises of God over your lives. And no one obligates me. It's every day. You think of, oh, it's my right. It's my due as a pastor. My only due is to love you. Well, one of the ways that I pray, it's very easy to criticize. It's very easy to criticize our presidents of every nation. Now, if you see me on Kingdom and Government, people say, oh, well, someone once told me some time ago, actually, oh, but you criticize. Because he told me, I saw a video from yesterday, and he said, well, really, where was that criticism? Am I calling the president's names? Am I making fun of them? No, I can speak with the Bible, see what the Bible says and what their ideas are. But with everything that I support Donald Trump, I don't like his way of acting on social media and attacking them and giving his political enemies nicknames. That's not good. I disagree completely with that. Now again, I pray for him and his administration, and I don't have to agree with the ideology of Madam President of Mexico, Ms. Sheinbaum, but I pray for her to take good decisions. And how do I do that? When I start calling out those countries by name and the presidents by name, Father, thank you for Mexico. Father, help them. I know that we do not deserve it. We've gone away from you as a nation, as a country, violence and glorifying everything that is perverse. Just as this nation has, we've taken you out of schools. We've promoted ungodly things, and I know it, and I know we do not deserve it. But by your mercies, by your goodness, by what the Lord Jesus is, by what he has done, by what he has paid for, by what he did, because of your love, your mercies, help these countries, help these governors, help the people. your people, your children in Mexico, the body of Christ in Mexico. For years, I have been attacked that I don't walk in love. Someone told me some time ago, it's because you criticize the pastor. And I said, oh, really? I said, well, okay, you said, I told someone here in Douglas, you said that I criticize the pastors. At least there has to be two for it to be a plural. I said, give me two names. Two names of pastors in churches that I have mentioned here. And give me at least two from AP. Or one and one. I said, no. But I refer to, oh. You see, that's their point of view. But it's not biblical. I refer to when you say that some pastors and some churches, oh, you see, that's very different. Me just judging one and pointing the finger to another. Remember what I told you of racism, of that point that I made our last service, how that doesn't fit to what people say of me not walking in love. It's very easy to just judge and just curse at another nation because you don't agree with them, and that's fine. You don't have to agree in everything, but it's easier if we pray and we can say, hey, this is right, this is wrong, but with the word of God. But to give understanding to them. Someone say amen. You want to see greater mercy of God in your life? Amen, all of us. I'll explain this. God. You give an example that's God and that's you. Grace is how God responds to you. God always responds in grace and mercy. Amen. You respond to God through that grace, through faith. Faith is your response to the love of God and the grace of God. All obedience. My definition of obedience, someone could disagree, and that's fine. But looking at it in line with the Bible, my definition of obedience, because if you see, that's simply what it is, faith in action. Or what faith in action is obedience. It's based on your response to what you understood of the love of God. Because God responds. God always responds to you or deals with you based on His grace and mercy. Praise the Lord, He doesn't deal with us in our perfection or in our errors. Because perfection, we don't have it. And errors, many. And God doesn't deal with that based on that. So you and I respond to God through faith. But I mentioned God. You. That's grace. And you to God is what? Faith. But how is it then between you and I?
The Word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Hi, I'm Kayla, daughter of Pastors Ignacio and Nuvia Hughes from Word of Faith Ministries. And I want to highly recommend my spiritual grandfather, Kenneth Copeland's book, The Joy and Power of the Tithing Covenant. I have read it myself, and I can assure you, it explains in detail how the tithe is prevalent under grace. I encourage you to obtain a copy and see how it will change your mindset and free you from any doubt that you may have concerning the subject of the tithe. Please visit kcm.org to order it.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
Hi, I'm Kayla. I have a quick question for you. Did you enjoy our teachings? How about the Kingdom and Government episodes? We'd love to know how this content has made a difference in your life. If it's been helpful, go ahead and like the video and drop a comment. We'd love to know how God's Word is impacting you.
Yeah, stay with both. Grace, faith. God responds or deals with us based on grace and mercy. You and I respond to God through that grace and mercy through faith. But how is it between us then? What was that? Oh, one more time. Thank you. How is it between us? What was that? Someone just said it. Thank you, grace. Exactly. The very same grace that God extends to you is the same grace that you should extend to the other brother. So we want to receive from God lots of mercy, lots of grace, but we don't want to extend grace to someone else. And that's very wrong. That's giving place to the devil in our lives. People here, and again, I'm not defending it, I'm not against it, but there's a motive. Instead of seeing with the Bible, you could let the Bible open your eyes. But people attacking the dealerships of Tesla, scratching the cars, burning cars, because Elon Musk is helping the president in something, and it's a position that any other president can put out someone, and it's limited, it's part, not part of his administration. You can know when people say, oh, we didn't elect Elon Musk. Well, no, neither did we elect the secretaries. No one elected Marco Rubio or Miss Pam Bundy. It's the president who chooses them. But Mr. Musk is just something temporary that any president can do in this country. Well, even with that, instead of just seeing and say, Lord, illuminate this to me. Well, what is the purpose of putting Elon Musk? A hatred? You can disagree, but it's anger. It's fury, wrath. That's how the world works. You say, oh yeah, that's how the world works. But I'm Christians as well. They go and ask forgiveness, and Christians say, oh yeah, we forgive you. Bad. Why you have to understand this? Because you can pray this prayer of supplication for yourself, and you'll want to see mercy. You'll want to see a difficult situation to use this prayer. You see greater mercy from God towards you. You willing to extend it as well? Verse 20. Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at that beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering, and he informed me and talked with me and said, jumping to verse 23, at the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, ever since he started praying. Now, that idea in mind, go to Hebrews. So good, isn't it? Go to Hebrews. One more time. Remember what I told you, it's based on what? On what you are in Christ. Don't go to the Lord saying, Lord, I ask you in the supplication, help me because I'm a good Christian. Help the people. Forget about that. It won't work that way. It's because of your goodness, your mercy. And if you're in a situation where you're struggling heavily and you need intervention from God, be very honest. Lord, I've been carnal. I've been easily offended. I get offended for any little thing. I have a short fuse. I don't know why some members of my family called me a hothead. I still haven't had that revelation. But I don't know. Lord, I've been carnal. I've been disobedient. I know I don't deserve anything of what I have to this day. It's all because of your love and your goodness and your mercy through my Lord Jesus. And I need your help here. But are you extending mercy? Ask yourself. Hebrews 8, verse 1. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the high hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, and not man. For every high priest is appointed. Who is this high priest that we have? Our Lord Jesus. Hebrews 7, verse 21. For they have become priests of the order of the Levites. Without an oath, but he with an oath, by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Now, chapter 8. Now, the principal point, the main point of verse 1. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also has something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, the Levites, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. But now, glory to God, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. One more time. Established on better promises. You want to see greater mercy then? And see greater mercy of God in you. Because there will be times where you'll pray in prayer or supplication. Not all the time. There are times where you do need to speak the word, pray in tongues, pray in the spirit as we've studied. What session would this be, multimedia? For that we've studied another 13 hours before this one, a prayer of different prayers. And if you listen again, one of the points, if you end up watching this on YouTube or something, oh no, wait. I can assure you that if you were to listen to it again, you'd say, wow, I was there. You see, we need to be more humble in thinking of, oh, I already know it, I'll never forget what I was taught, and understand that it's not that way. I remind you again with the Bible. Up until this verse, remember when the Lord told those people begging and begging and begging? And it wasn't so much with them asking, it was the attitude, the greed. It's like they barely even had that piece of meat. And they would, oh, we remember the story. There's nothing good there. It's the attitude, the heart. Hallelujah. Well, I'll give you this verse up until it comes out through your noses. In love, of course. Meaning that you always remember what I refer to. So you're tired of that verse up until you dream on it. 1 Corinthians 8:12. Verse 2, and if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Stick it there on your fridge. You can see it all the time. Now, biblical scholars here, not waste too much time. Remembers that verse speaks of that man that did not give mercy as well. I think it's in Matthew that the Lord expected him to return mercy and he didn't. I just remembered a moment ago. What was that? Thank you. Good to have disciples with you. Matthew 18:21. Let's jump to 23. Well, 21 is good. Thank you, Rene. Thank you. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. That's 499 times. Well, this person has offended me 500. Verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. A lot of money. People who give or take about $10 billion or something like that, according to certain statistics. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, in this term, meaning supplicating, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. The moment will come, glory to God, when perhaps you'll find yourself in a situation, not as speaking your will or lack of faith, where you're going to have to use a prayer supplication. But it's good where we're not prideful, and then if it's going good for you, and you're using the other types of prayers, glory to God, but there can be a moment where you will need it. Notice here how we spoke of the rules of games, where baseball, basketball, the different types of prayers, different types of rules. The moment can come where you need to see greater mercy. What are you going to do if you haven't sown that mercy? If you haven't given grace and mercy to others. Master, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Some say it's like $50,000 or something, or $5,000. Imagine in verse 21 that quantity is 10 million. And then the other is $5,000. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you. Do you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, praise the Lord for the finished Christ of Jesus. The Lord will not deliver you to the hands of Satan. But we have studied that God will permit, what you sow. You want to find greater mercy, you won't find it. Not because God has his arm crossed and saying, no, you didn't read, you didn't give mercy to your brother or sister, you don't have it. No, as you understood, as a disciple of the word, we are the ones that have authority. Our Lord Jesus said, all authority is given to me on heaven and earth. When he was going to go, you and I release that power. But when you don't give mercy to others and don't forgive, and you're a carnal person, all you're doing is God extending that mercy, as the example I gave you a moment ago. But since you don't extend mercy, the devil comes and blocks those blessings. You see the way of praying for Daniel, and Daniel was under the Old Testament, an inferior covenant to ours. Nevertheless, he was humble. Daniel was praying for his nation. As you remember the story, Daniel and the other young Jews mentioned there, and other people had been, as to say, they had been threatened by Nebuchadnezzar. And they were taken to live in Babylon, and they grew up also learning the language and the culture there. But they hadn't let go of their Jewish culture, and they sought God. How many believers do you see that way? I notice in my people, that live here in the United States, when it's convenient, it's, oh, long live Mexico, long live, and with the flag and everything. But when something isn't so good, or they learn that something happened in Mexico with authorities, or that they were unjust with their family, I cannot repeat some of the words that I've heard. Country, the beep, 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 beep. And it's only when it's convenient. All of that, brothers and sisters, dead works. That's all from the world. You and I have been born again. We are a new creation in Christ. You and I need to operate differently. You need to renew your mind with the Word of God. If you want to see everything that the Lord Jesus paid for, you need to change and walk by faith and be different. You cannot receive the same. Hallelujah. But we'll pray in a moment. Direct it.
And the Lord is saying to pray for the church every day before praying for our church, before our homes. And when we sow our seed, first seed in the spirit, the manifestation of what our church, and after, let's believe for the manifestation of what our own home needs. Because where our treasure lies, your heart is. When you and I bring our tithes and present them to our high priest, in Malachi 3:10, it says, bring all tithes to the basket, and there will be abundance in your home. This is when we correspond to the Lord and we see it. When we correspond to the grace of the Lord, and the grace takes care of us. But it's us corresponding that by grace it's manifest. But see that not everybody is living in this prosperity, because sometimes our relationship with finances isn't the correct one, because we only for what we need or what we want, that it be supplied. And then whatever's left over, if there is any left over, then they present that to the Lord. When the Lord tells us, bring your tithes, my storehouse, and there will be food in your house. And this home, this church, it's that storehouse where we present those tithes to the Lord. And the Lord will make sure that from here, you will have a solid food so that you can continue producing riches. Amen. But sometimes we have our hearts set in the correct place. So first, it's our spiritual home, because he takes care of us. But he sees our heart. and he sees it. We do it not for him to see it, but because we're thankful for what he gave us. Our spiritual eyes are for us to see what we can't see in our flesh. Faith sees things as they are not. Let's see with our spiritual eyes the manifestation of what we believe for our church, equipment, paid invoices, and plans. What is that? What is the Lord saying? Unite to the vision of your spiritual home. Connect with the plans and projects and be participant of that. Because through that, that grace flows so that you can continue to have sowing. To continue sowing. Because our spiritual home is first. Years ago, I heard the story of this person. An older lady, and some robbers came into her house. She wasn't there. And when she got there, she called the police and they assessed what was taken. And the first thing that she did when the officers let her come in, she came into her small studio, and the agents were surprised that instead of looking for her jewelry or money of valuable items, she immediately went her to a little study area and she took her Bible. And then they realized that they had taken money and jewels, but she had her Bible so close to her, and the officers asked her, "What's missing?" Because we know they saw your safe box and jewels. And she said, "That doesn't matter, because as long as I have this, that what they took is replaceable. This is what gave me those jewels." Obviously, she could have bought herself a Bible, but she had notes, and where the Lord had spoken to her, where the Lord had given her revelation, that's what mattered. That's where her heart was. Material things are replaceable. Here's our heart. Amen. So I was very pleased when I saw what the Lord was speaking. And it's good that we hear from other people, because sometimes we make the mistake of saying, "Oh, they said it many times. Oh, the pastor. Oh, Sister Novia. Oh, Sister Mireya." No, it's not the same. He who thinks knows everything doesn't know anything, because we have to receive. And if the Lord is speaking to one person, the Lord is speaking to all of us. But baby, not all of us are listening, because we're paying too much attention to trying to supply our own needs with our own strength. When the Lord gives us the opportunity after opportunity to sow in his kingdom, to be participant of those projects and plans, because the Lord is in the business of the people. He wants to continue reaching people. He wants to continue expanding the word through you. He wants you to first receive the revelation so that your lives continue to change. It's not just come here and sitting down, but willing to receive. And every time we sit, say, "Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. Open my spiritual eyes. Help me retain your word, that there be revelation in me, that there's a willing heart, and the Lord will help you." Amen. It's not a ritual. It's a relationship with the Lord. So focus. Where is your eyesight set on? In what you're being paid or what you're not being paid? The Lord Jesus asked that he feed 5,000 people. And the disciples said, "Lord, there's nothing but bread and fish, a small meal of a boy." And I can imagine the Lord gave them a stare and said, "Ugh." And he took that, blessed those, and he presented them to the kingdom. How many times do we complain? I can't even make ends meet with what I have. No, we don't have to give. We have the opportunity to increase our finances with our finance, with our seed. Don't complain. Speak ill of what you do have or because something is missing. Bless what you do have and present it to the Lord and the kingdom. And the kingdom will enter in action into your life because we're corresponding by faith to the grace that has been given to us. Glory to God. Canada, Mexico, Salvador, Nicaragua, Panama, Venezuela, Norway, India, Philippines, Brazil, Ecuador, Argentina, Lebanon, Chile, India. India is where we're mostly in. Mexico, Nicaragua, Venezuela, Peru, Ecuador, the Dominican Republic, Turkey, Jordania, Iraq, Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, Laos, Bangladesh, South Africa, Nicaragua, Vietnam, Cambodia. There's countries here that I can't even pronounce. And these are places where we're seen. And we're being contacted. Amen. Praise the Lord. The grace of the Lord. We're in the business of the people with the Lord. Be on your feet with me. And let's examine our heart and give thanks to the Lord. And if we've been ungrateful, we change it now. And if we've been a person who has complained, change your attitude. And if we've been a person who has set our eyesight in our income, in what we get paid, in our check, in our hours or the lack of hours, change your attitude, change your eyesight to the Lord, who is your provider, the one who gives you seed to sow and food to eat. Change your attention and decide to believe Him. If you've been a person who has focused in the material items, change your attention. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us blessed to bless. But there's been many times the blessings and the possessions that we've obtained who have derailed us and have derailed our eyesight from the Lord. And let's change that and see first for the interests of the Lord. And the Lord will occupy and fulfill us. Lord, I give thanks this evening. I bless every family, every partner, every member of the spiritual family who have decided to trust you, who deposit your seed and sow a financial seed, trusting you, not setting your eyesight on how much they'll have left over or how much will be missing, but deciding that you are their source, that you are their supplier, that you are the one who gives them the ability to produce riches. You are the one who blesses every work of their hands because you give us that power. I give you thanks for that person, for every family, every partner who make possible that this word keep expanding and that we keep reaching more and more people. Maybe on this world, it's probably that we won't get to know many of these people, but you know them, and you tell us in your word, he who takes care of the fig tree will eat from its fruits, and he who guards the interests of the Lord will receive from you. And your interest is that people receive your word, that your gospel keep growing, that we keep financing this precious gospel, that this word be out and change way of thinking and change lives and heal people. Because when your word goes out, your anointing is with it. The power of the Lord manifested. Thank you, Lord. I declare that every seed produces, that every seed that is sowed in faith produces in our lives. And we're growing in our finances. we make a change in our heart and we decide to trust and believe in you and decide that you are our source and not our work, not our income. You are the one that gives us the ability, techniques and strategies to continue producing more and more and more. I give you thanks, Lord. I speak blessing. I declare that we are blessed to bless in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.